Bobby Wilcott buys his wife Addie a new house, hoping to save their struggling marriage. When a dark force invades their lives, they refuse to believe it can hurt them. But when things turn violent, they must decide to stay and fight or run.
Okay, welcome back. This is 13 o'clock. Tom and Jenny, we're here. We got a good show today.
Yeah, he did the introduction today.
Yeah, you didn't know I could do anything, did you? Yeah, I did it.
Sometimes, or, you know, change things up, let you do the introduction.
Yeah, this is a good episode today. We got a big reaction out of Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Yeah, who knew that so many people were, like, interested in those two?
Yeah, according to the data, people want some more Ed and Lorraine. And a friend of ours, or an online friend of ours, an army buddy of mine, what's his name? John R.
Yeah.
John R. You know, we served in Korea together. Not at the exact same time. Anyway, he came up with the idea that we should talk about A Haunting, the program A Haunting.
Yeah.
So this is kind of like a double whammy. It's a haunting episode that has Ed and Lorraine in it. We're going to talk about that. It's called The Dark Side.
And it's actually one of the cases, the Warrens never, I really couldn't find much information on this other than...
It's a crypto case.
Yeah, other than the episode of A Haunting that it was featured on. But the Warrens were evidently involved. I don't think they ever wrote a book about it, or I don't think it was one of their super famous cases, but they were involved in it.
It could be mentioned in some of those video interviews that they sell.
Yeah, or one of their, because I think they did do like some compilation type books, like, but it wasn't one of the big cases like The Conjuring or Annabelle or anything like that where they wrote like a whole book about it.
No, but it makes this case kind of difficult to verify because we don't have access to any of the primary sources for this case.
I mean, all we have is like what the witnesses said on the show, and you know.
And I think that's probably one of the strongest points in this case is that the witnesses seem to be credible. I would say I kind of believe that they believe what they're saying,
and
they seem sincere.
Yeah, and honestly, I kind of, you know, like I said, most of these, I'm not saying that like everybody that's on A Haunting is making it up and shit like that, but I'm saying that some of them, I feel like they go too over the top.
Yeah.
Like they're seeing this and seeing that. Yeah. These people seem like their shit was pretty low key.
Yeah, actually the haunting is actually kind of mild. Now what they're showing you during the episode, you know, the cinematography that they use, of course it's hyped, but what they're actually saying seems pretty mild.
Yeah.
Before we get into this case though, we got a house cleaning we do before we start going down this direction. Unseen Hand. Man, the response to Unseen Hand's been awesome. According to the data, a lot of it is viewers that's buying that. But not all of it. On Audible, it's mostly Audible customers, I think based on the reviews that we have. What we need, though, what I'd like to do is we're looking for listeners in the UK and in Australia. Could you please contact us? We'd like to give you some free audiobooks in exchange for a review.
Yeah.
Because we don't really have any reviews in Australia, and we don't really have any in the UK. They're selling there.
Yeah.
But nobody's
reviewed. And I know that we have a lot of listeners in England and in Australia. That's because from the geographic downloads, at least of the audio podcast, I'm not sure about the YouTube show.
Yeah. Friend 13 o'clock on Facebook and ask us for a free copy if you live in that area. We're going to verify, of course.
Because I've got a bunch. Like all four of my paranormal books, I have free audiobook codes.
Yeah.
Left.
Yeah. If you want free audiobooks, we're going to give them out to... Priority is Australia and UK.
Yeah, because we need reviews on those, on the Australian and UK sites.
Okay, what else do we have
Our YouTube show recently went over 500 subscribers.
Yeah, that's another thing. If you're listening to the podcast, please subscribe on YouTube.
On YouTube as well.
To the YouTube show. You'll enjoy the YouTube show, and that's a good way to make requests, because a lot of these shows that we do are based upon requests that we get off of YouTube.
Yeah.
All right. So it's a good way to contact us because we're always looking at those.
But yeah. So hooray. We went over 500 subscribers.
Over 500. And actually, I think we're 504 right now.
Yeah. And like the audio show on Project Entertainment Network, Project Entertainment, this month We are already, and the month isn't even over yet, we're already over 14,000 downloads.
Yeah, which is incredible. Which is incredible for a podcast that we didn't really intend to do.
Yeah.
We were asked to do this show by our mom.
We just kind of fell into it ass first, yeah. really.
And it just slowly kind of grew into this without any kind of advertising. It's just all been word of mouth. And some of you guys have been with us from the very beginning. We really appreciate our viewers.
Yeah.
All right, let's start with this case then.
All right, so we're getting to this case. Now, this case was featured on A Haunting, Season 3, Episode 10, and it was called The Dark Side. The interesting thing, this was actually one of the better episodes from Season 3, I thought.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, because it was low-key, it didn't seem overhyped or anything like that, even despite the Warrens' involvement. It seemed like some plausible shit. It seemed plausible.
And in Season 3 of The Haunting, by the time Season 3 was rolling around, The Haunting was starting to get over the top, if you asked me. But this is one of the standout episodes for Season 3.
Just because it was more restrained.
Yeah.
I thought.
Yeah.
An unusual thing about this, and probably why I had such a hard time like finding other information about this case, was that now the people, the couple at the center of The Haunting, Bobby and Addie Wilcott, they were interviewed on there rather extensively. Then I'm assuming that those are their real names.
Right.
The Haunting, they bought the Haunting where, you know, where the house that they, when they bought the house in 1978, weirdly, the show does not specify where the house is.
No, it just says in New England.
It just says New England.
New England.
Which is unusual because usually on states. Haunting, it'll say like the city and the state.
Right.
But this one, they just said New England. And I don't know if it's because they didn't want people going there because they still live there.
They still live there, so that's probably
because I think, I mean, or at least they still lived there in 2006 when the show came out.
Right.
So I don't know if they still live there now. But yeah, so maybe they didn't want people coming knocking on the door going, hey, haunted house.
Yeah.
Even though evidently it's not haunted anymore.
Right.
Because they had, but they had some shit happen. Basically, the story went like this. So this couple, 1978.
They're living with their parents.
They had been living with Bobby's parents.
Right.
And it was causing some problems, as it will, because you know how parents are. And, you know, so Addie, the wife, she's trying to convince Bobby to buy a house because they want their own place, right?
Right.
And she seemed to think, she was kind of diplomatic about it, but she was kind of saying, you know, that he was kind of dragging his feet. It's like she'd call the realtor and they'd go see houses and he'd be like, oh, I don't like that one. I don't like that one. Like, you know, he didn't really want to do it. I think later on she kind of said something about how he didn't want to grow up or something like that. Eventually they called, they got this one house and it was an old colonial. And the one they used in the episode was kind of a little bit small and junky looking, but I don't know what the real one looked like. So finally, he's kind of like, yeah, this looks like nice. We can do this or whatever. Now, the interesting thing is that the realtor takes them to the house.
Yeah, and the realtor doesn't want to go in.
And gives them the keys. And she's like, no, I'm good out here in the driveway.
Yeah.
You guys just go in.
Yeah, and they get in there. He gets in there. I believe it was open. He didn't have to unlock it.
Yeah.
He walks in. He starts looking around. Starts going upstairs, and a guy comes out of the side room and goes, don't go upstairs. Who are you?
Yeah.
And he's like, we're with the realtor. And you know, they'd already put a deposit down on the place.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, Bobby did without telling her.
Without telling her.
And I guess it was supposed to be like a surprise.
Yeah, and the guy that lives there says, don't go upstairs. And he goes, well, how can I buy a place if I can't look at it?
Yeah.
So the guy's like, oh, okay. And he lets him go upstairs. They go upstairs, and all the upstairs doors are nailed shut. So he has to bust doors open to get into the rooms to see. And there's vines and stuff growing in through open windows. At least that's how it's shown in the program.
Right.
And they go downstairs and they see that the whole family's living in basically one room downstairs.
In the front room with like a sheet across the...
Yeah.
It looked like the living room.
Yeah, like the living room.
And there was like a mattress on the floor.
Right.
And it was like, it looked like him and his wife, and it looked like a teenage daughter or something like that.
Yeah.
And they're like, to me, that was one of the creepiest things in there. Because can you imagine?
Just living in one room downstairs.
Yeah, going to look at a house and like, you don't know anyone's in there. Because like the house was owned, obviously, because they were buying it. But they didn't know anyone was home. And they go in there and all of a sudden this like bum like pops. Like he looked like a bum in the episode. I don't know what he really looked like. Yeah, he pops out from behind a sheet. They'd had the sheet across the entrance to the living room, and they'd been living in there.
Yeah.
And they had nailed all the upstairs doors shut.
Yeah, and he's like, why don't you guys use the upstairs? Why are all the doors nailed shut? And the guy really wouldn't answer.
And they just kind of looked at him like, oh, you'll find out.
And they had a player piano there that didn't work, but they're checking the place out, and, you know, they're going to buy it.
Yeah, and they said it needed a lot of work, but like I said, it's hard to tell. I don't know how much of a dump it was when they bought it.
Now, the way it's shown in the episode, it makes it seem like that the family was afraid to live upstairs.
Yeah.
But maybe that wasn't really what was happening. It could be that it was so junky upstairs, and the windows were busted out, so they decided to nail the doors shut to keep...
The drafts and keep animals out. Keep
animals out of the house.
It might have been.
Still, that's a strange solution.
It is a very strange solution. Well, that's the thing. And that could be, like you said, that could be an alternate explanation because maybe this family, maybe they had this house, maybe they lived in it a long time, and they were poor, and they couldn't afford to fix all of this stuff. Because it was an old house.
So
it was
built in the 1800s.
Yeah, so they just, you know, locked up the top and said, everybody stay out of there because maybe there was stuff that was dangerous or whatever.
But as the situation was portrayed in the episode, it was effectively creepy.
Yeah, because like I said, I could imagine like going and look at a house and this family's just all sitting down and like looking at you like, all the doors upstairs, all the doors upstairs are now shut.
So what happened? So they buy the place and what happened after that?
Okay, so they buy the place and they start fixing it up.
Yeah.
Now the first thing that started to happen, you know, they were both fixing it up and they're kind of joking around about, oh, it's going to be so pretty when we finish and all this other kind of stuff. And then they're upstairs and they hear this huge crash downstairs.
Yeah, it sounded like a bunch of broken glass.
Now,
like
the first thing they thought was, they had a big mirror that was like hanging over the fireplace. And they said, oh, well, that must have just fallen off the wall.
Right.
Because they said that's what it sounded like, a big, huge crash.
Yeah.
So they go down there and nothing's broken.
Yeah, they couldn't find it. They never did discover where that sound came from.
Yeah. And now the way they described it, they said... The sounds they were hearing were like really, really big crashes. Like it had to be something like something breaking or something falling over or something like that. They go down and there's nothing there. The thing, like I said, the thing that's kind of makes me feel like maybe something weird was going on in this house is that it wasn't a type of thing where it was just like every day.
Yeah. No.
Because like sometimes even on the show, they even said, oh, you know, nothing happened for a few weeks or nothing, you know, that they noticed.
Right.
Right. Because they heard this big crash and they thought it was weird, but then they didn't really think any more about it. Right. So they keep fixing up the house and everything like that.
Yeah, interesting part about this case is that it takes place over many years.
Yeah, which is unusual.
Yeah.
And like I said, they didn't say it was like relentless or like it was like an assault or some of the other shows. It was
just occasional.
Yeah, it was just like occasional shit, which is why they stayed in the house for so long. And like I said, as far as I know, they're still there. They were in 2006. Like a few months pass. Mm-hmm. And they have the house kind of fixed up and stuff like that. Now, Bobby is at work. He's an engineer. You know, Addie is a housewife, just like every other woman on this show is. Yeah. They always stay home by themselves, I guess, what it is. And the husbands always work the night shift.
Yeah.
Like 95% of the
shift. Or he's a trucker.
Or he's a trucker or something like that. Like, he's always gone at nighttime, you know, coincidentally. So Bobby's at work or something, and Addie has a friend of hers named Shannon, and Shannon has come over to see the house in the evening. And they're sitting around, farting around with a broken player piano or whatever. Yeah. Now they hear a huge crash coming from upstairs.
Right. They grab some shotguns and come run up there.
Now see, that I really love that scene because I love the way, I don't even see where she brought that, where she got that shotgun from. Shotguns, but she had just two. Come out. It's like she just pulled it right out of her ass and here's one for me and here's one for you. Pistol packing mamas.
Hey, this is America, man. This is America.
I just thought that was so funny. I didn't even see where she got them from. But she's just like, you know, and she just like cocks the shit and they're just like, you know.
So they run up there and clear the upper floor, ninja style.
I know. It's like a fucking.
Yeah. Well, they couldn't find anything.
Yeah. So they go up there and there's nothing. There's nobody up there. Nothing is broken. And they're just, she's like, what the fuck? We heard something up here. And she's like, it was really, really loud.
Her husband comes back and he's like, you girls are tripping.
Yeah. As they do. Again, 95% of a haunting episodes always have the dude not seeing anything and then telling his wife
she's tripping. Yeah.
And the wife and the
kids. You're being a woman.
You women
hear things.
We can't see or hear anything correctly. It's crazy. I don't even know how I live. How do I keep from walking into walls?
Women see things.
I can't see anything. I can't hear anything.
Yeah.
None of my senses work. What am I even doing
here? Just women, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how we do.
So the next thing that happened was what?
So, okay. Then, and this, okay, this part cracked me up. So then a little bit later, like a few days later, I don't think they specified. Bobby is home by himself working on the house.
Yeah.
Addie's at the grocery store or some shit.
He was upstairs working on the house. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, or he was downstairs, I think. He heard the player piano start to play by itself.
No, he was upstairs.
Oh, okay.
And he came downstairs. And
so, oh, that's right. Yeah, you're right. Okay, so now I know what you're thinking. A player piano. That's the whole point of a player piano, Jenny. It plays by itself. Yeah. No. This player piano was broken.
It was broken. It was
and it didn't have, because you know how the player piano, it has to have sheet. That, you have to have that little sheet music in, yeah. that you feed through the whatchacallit.
Yeah, little
that,
program.
Yeah, that makes it make the noise. Okay, well, it didn't have that.
Right.
But he heard it playing.
Heard it playing. He ran down there and looked and nothing.
And nothing. There was nothing. No one there.
And no one there, and it wasn't even playing.
Right.
So he just heard it from upstairs. And he got then, close to it and looked at it. It wasn't playing.
Yeah. And he opened it. He's like, there's no, you know, it doesn't work.
Which that would be weird.
Yeah, that would be super creepy. That was a really effectively creepy part of that. Yeah. I thought.
And that was the end of the player piano. They got rid of that.
Well, no. What ended up this is what I said with this was so funny.
Okay.
Was that he heard it, right? And then Addie comes home from the grocery store.
Uh-huh.
And then he says, I heard the player piano playing by itself.
Yeah.
And she's all kind of like, fuck you, didn't hear nothing. Yeah. And I was like, turnabout's fair play, you know, motherfucker.
Men are hearing things. Men hear things.
Yeah, you men in your men fucked up things, senses. Men seeing things. You don't know how anything works. Right. You don't know how anything works. So I just thought that, I was like, score one for the girl there. She was like, yeah, whatever. You're not hearing anything. You're crazy. So I was like, awesome.
So what happened?
Okay, so then... Then there was like kind of a long gap. I guess nothing exciting happened.
Yeah, they're very vague when it comes about timeline and how much time has passed in between these
editions. I'm assuming
they're probably not writing it down the date in which things are happening. Yeah. Just things are just happening.
Because I think stuff was like kind of maybe most of the stuff that happened in this time period was kind of minor and stuff like that. But so the next thing that happened on the show, and they said it was a year later. Now, they said that they'd been working on the house. They were having financial problems, obviously, because those things are a fucking money suck.
Yeah.
Which don't ever buy one unless you have a lot of money. I'm just saying. But so like a year later, Bobby is bitching because he's like, there's no way our electric bill could be this high. How is our electric bill this
high? Yeah, that's right. This is a weird part of the movie.
He's like, this is crazy. And then she's all like, well, you're the one always leaving the lights on. They're all going like that.
Yeah.
So he's like, all right, well, I'm going to go down to the basement and check out the fucking meter or whatever.
Right.
Okay. Now he sees the meter. And like I said, I don't know. I'm only seeing what's on the reenactment and what the guy said. So I don't know how accurate this is or whatever. But so he goes downstairs and the meter is like going around all crazy. Like really fast.
An American power meter has a bunch of dials. It's a long series of dials. I don't know what it's like, you know, in the UK or Australia, but it's got like six little tiny dials that all move at different speeds.
And then there's like a big dial.
Yeah, and then there's like a big dial that moves from side to side with a black line.
Yeah, that moves laterally, yeah.
On the episode, they show basically none of the little dials moving. They're actually just vibrating. And then the main big dial with the black dash on it going a million miles an hour.
Yeah.
But what he actually says in the interview is different from what they're showing. He says he would disconnect the power... And the meter would read the same whether the power was on or off.
Right.
Which that's a sign of something wrong, of a constant power drain somewhere.
Yeah. So they were thinking there was something wrong with the meter.
So what a haunting shows you on the screen is not exactly what the homeowner described.
Yeah. He said, quote unquote, it read the same whether the power was on or off. Which is still not right.
Right. So he calls the power company, and the power company comes and checks out the meter, and they couldn't find anything wrong.
And the meter
wrong.
Is fine.
They couldn't find anything wrong with it.
And then he said
he said it was never really...
Never resolved. So never I sufficiently. Don't...
He said to this day, it's not really resolved.
Yeah, so I don't know if their power bills continued to be, like, ridiculously high.
Well, I guess not.
Like
I guess not.
I guess not, because they didn't mention it again.
They said that the power bill, that particular power bill that he complained about would have driven them into the poorhouse.
Yeah.
So I guess it was only temporary.
Yeah. But that's a pretty common thing in like poltergeist, with all that kind of like weird electrical anomalies.
Weird electrical anomalies.
Yeah.
And that sometimes a poltergeist outbreak, I've never heard of it attributed to haunting. And there is a difference for viewers that haven't been a regular listener of the show. Poltergeist and haunting are not the same. I know. I went through a poltergeist event. I've never seen a haunting.
Yeah.
although I lived in a bad house for a while. That's another story. I don't know if it was or not. It was just a bad house. I'm gonna leave that for another time.
Yeah, you should talk about that on one of these days.
One of these days, I'll talk about that bad house.
Okay, so he calls the power company and they can't find anything wrong with the meter, and he said it wasn't resolved. Now the next thing that happened, and I'm assuming this was just like a few days or weeks later, he comes home from work or something like that. He's in the house by himself, and the back door keeps opening by itself, right?
Yeah.
And like he sees it open.
Yeah.
And then he goes over there, he closes it. And then he turns around. Yeah, he closes it and he locks it. And then he turns around and he sees it open again.
Yeah.
Right.
Every time he turned his back on the door would be open.
It would creak open. It would like open halfway.
That's at least what they show during the episode.
Yeah.
He doesn't actually say that in any interviews.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's difficult to know. We don't have the original source interviews.
Yeah.
Of what, you know, of this case. So. And evidently they don't exist.
Yeah. Well, not that I could find.
I think just Dominion Pit. Isn't it called Dominion?
New Dominion, yeah.
New Dominion. That's the company that makes A Haunting. Evidently, only New Dominion has the source material. The source interviews.
Yeah.
Source interviews. So.
So then
we don't know what was cut out.
Right. So he's like trying to get this door, and that was funny too because he's like said, "I'm gonna lock the shit out of this door." And it's like, and it's still opening. You know what I mean? So then, like, Addie comes home, and he's like, and then Addie says,
"Wait, hold on. What? There's a difference between locking a door and locking the shit out of a door."
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Well, if you're just locking it, you're just like, you're "Oh, just I'm locking it." But when you're locking the shit,
you're like, "Ugh."
You're doing it with some determination. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, this is gonna stay locked. God damn it.
Okay.
That's what you're doing. You're locking the shit out of it.
All right.
That's what they say. So Addie comes home and he's like, the door keeps opening. And then she said, you know, you left the front door open. And he's like, I did not.
Yeah, I just locked it. Yeah.
He's like, so all the doors are keep opening.
Right.
Now, when both of them are talking about what the fuck was with the doors, why won't they stay closed? Then they both hear the player piano playing by itself.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Then they both hear.
Now, here's something that I don't think it was actually addressed. That they couldn't keep the front and the front door and the back door closed.
Right.
Which may have explained why the guy nailed the upstairs doors shut.
Yeah, maybe they kept opening
maybe
and
they
closing.
Maybe they kept opening and closing.
Because that's what, well, because that was kind of the joke where he kept like, where right. Bobby kept like doing the door and he's like, well, I don't know. Why should maybe just nail them shut? And then I was like, that's why those people had the doors nailed shut. Because they just kept slamming and they probably got sick of it. But yeah, so they both hear the player piano playing by itself. So they both run in there and there's nobody in there.
Right.
And then they're like, what the fuck? But something weird is going on. Okay, so the next day she calls and has the piano taken away because who the hell wants a player piano just suddenly playing all of a sudden in the middle of the night? That's pretty creepy. Okay, so she has the piano taken away. Now, a little bit later, the same realtor comes back to the house and she says, oh, some guy drove past this house and he loves it. He's willing to give you like twice as much as you paid.
Right. So you're going to double your money.
So you can double your money.
Yeah. She says no to it though, because she thinks the house is the glue to their relationship.
Yeah. That was one thing they kind of, went into. Yeah.
And the haunting phenomenon at that time wasn't so frequent and it wasn't so intimidating that they felt it was a problem. It was something that they could
It was just something that happened every now and then. He said something like, you know, there wasn't anything that would warrant pushing the panic button. That's what he said. Because like I said, it seemed like just stuff was happening every now and then. It's, you know, it's like shit that happens at our house. It's like every now and then the TV comes on.
Right.
Every now and then the garage door opens or something like that. It's not
doorbell
like
rings.
Yeah, or the doorbell rings. It's like it's creepy when it happens, but it only happens like once every few months. So it's not like you're gonna like, oh my god, I have to move out. It's David.
Right, yeah.
You know, it's nothing like that. Now, I think another reason that she didn't want to move is because this is when she told him she was pregnant, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she was probably like, well, I don't want to have to be pregnant and move and it's going to be a big pain in the ass and stuff like that. They didn't say that, but I'm assuming.
Well, they would need the space to.
Right. Yeah.
What was the next thing that...
Now, they showed her... She told him she was pregnant, right?
Yeah.
Then they skip ahead 5 years.
All right.
Because now they have a son named Sterling and he's 5 years old.
Yeah. And we don't know what happened during that 5 years. Evidently, nothing major.
Nothing major because they stayed there. They didn't feel like they were in any danger or anything like that. So the next, you know, we meet the family again 5 years later. Their kid is, 5 years old. Now, they show that while Bobby is, like, out digging in the yard, he's, like, planting a tree or some shit. I don't know what he's doing. And he comes across what they called a headstone or a gravestone.
Yeah.
Now, on the episode, it didn't look like a gravestone. It was basically, it was just like a block of granite with like initials on it.
Yeah, about the size of a cinder block.
Yeah, which to me looked more like a property marker.
That's what I thought it was.
Then, now I'm not saying that what they found, I mean, what they found in real life might have actually looked like a gravestone, but what they showed on the episode did not look like
a gravestone. Yeah, there was an inconsistency between what the witnesses said they found and what was shown.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and they said later on too that they had found more than one.
Right.
Because, you know, they said something about it. They said gravestones or headstones.
Yeah.
Plural.
It's unclear what they found. It was just a stone that had initials on it.
Yeah. And the stone said NWH. Yeah. So they were kind of like freaked out.
I think it was a property
marker. It might have been a property marker because evidently when Addie went to the county records office the next day and looked up the property owners like throughout history, she found a guy named Nathan Wilson Harding, NWH, who had owned the property at some point. So that might have been a property marker, like just, you know, probably the edge of his, you know, of his acreage or what have you. It might not have been a headstone.
Right.
But they interpreted it as a headstone, whatever it looked like in real life, and started to think, oh, well, maybe there are ghosts in the house and, you know, maybe we should do something about it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, because if you, you know, of course. Right. But this might actually be a good time to take a break.
Yeah, okay. So, oh, yeah. Oh, man, this is going fast.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so we're going to take a break right now, and we'll be back to continue talking about the dark side.
Yeah, and we'll finally get down to the bottom. Was this a headstone?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are they living on top of a cemetery? It's kind of like a replay of Poltergeist. Anyway.
You only move the headstones!
Yeah. Right. Okay, we gotta go.
We'll be right back in just a minute.
Three guys with beards.
The usual gang of idiots. That's me, Christopher Golden.
New York Times best-selling authors.
My name is Jim Moore.
Interviews with pop culture stars and creators.
So I'm Jonathan Mayberry.
And they don't talk about politics.
Course of Human Events.
Jesus, let's not talk about the Course of Human Events today.
I said they don't talk about politics.
I suspect we may bend our rule about no politics on the beards and talk about politics on the beards.
Didn't you say they don't talk about politics?
If somebody else says something, we should...
Thank you.
Can anyone hear me? Am I all alone here?
Three guys with beards.
Tuesdays, exclusively on Project Entertainment Network.
Subculture Corsets and Clothing is our favorite store for unusual clothing, shoes, and accessories. They offer a wide selection of men's and women's clothing at great prices. Subculture also offers a cool selection of shoes and accessories. Steampunk, gothic apparel, retro, corsets, and so much more at Subculture Corsets and Clothing. Check out Subculture online at subculturecorsets.com. That's subculturecorsets.com. Make sure you use the discount code 13O'Clock for a 10% discount. Subculturecorsets.com or visit their store in Jacksonville, Florida, just off I-95.
Once upon a time, a madman, poet, and thief known as John Urbansick. That's me. Challenged himself, myself, to write a story a day, every day, for a year, by hand. Some of them worked. Some of them failed. Some of them were spectacular. Then I did it again. Join me every week for Ink Stains as I do it a third time, and I will read you some of these stories. I'll talk about the process, about creativity in general, writing in specific, and maybe I can help ignite your artistic adventures.
The Unseen Hand, a new exploration of poltergeist phenomena by Jenny Ashford, author of The Rochdale Poltergeist, House of Fire and Whispers, and The Mammoth Mountain Poltergeist. The Unseen Hand is a comprehensive collection of over 100 reported poltergeist cases from the first century to the present day. All the best known cases are presented, from the Bell Witch to Jeff the Talking Mongoose, from Rosenheim to Tina Resch, from Enfield to The Entity. A large selection of fascinating and lesser-known accounts from all over the world are also included, and all contain testimony from the most eerie and extraordinary events. The Unseen Hand is the ultimate compendium for readers interested in poltergeist disturbances throughout history and the theories behind what causes them. On sale now from Amazon in print, ebook, and audiobook formats. Go to Unseen Hand Book on Facebook and visit www.jennyashford.com for more information.
Okay, and we're back. Like I said, headstone, not headstone, we don't know. I said, they specifically referred to them as headstones. And that's what they thought they were.
But they showed property markers.
Right. So I don't know. So they started thinking, well, maybe it's a ghost. The house is haunted or something like that. Now, a couple days after that, Bobby's at home by himself doing laundry, which usually women do on a haunting. Because single episode, I wrote a blog post about this. If you go to my blog, Goddess of Hellfire, I wrote this really long and it's pretty funny if I do say so myself. But I would like all the like five crazy things you see on every episode of a haunting. Yeah. I swear to God, 95% of episode of a haunting have a woman carrying a laundry basket around.
Yeah.
And it's just, they're doing laundry in every single episode. I'm
That's what women's supposed to do. I guess.
That's woman's job, goddammit. So I liked that not only did this episode have the wife turning it around and going, you didn't hear that player piano.
Yeah.
You imagined it. But they also showed a dude doing laundry. I was like, wow, that's very progressive of them.
Yeah.
But so he's doing laundry in the laundry room.
And then all of a sudden, a box of laundry detergent flies off the top of a counter and hits him.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even know if it hit him.
Did it hit him or did it just fall?
I think it just kind of flew past him.
Yeah, it did. It did.
And like hit on the floor. You know, it was like, fuck your laundry detergent. There it goes. And choom, you know.
And the way it was actually shown during on the episode, it looked pretty cool. They definitely had it on a wire.
Yeah.
But it would have been dramatic had that really been the way it had that really been the way it went down. We don't know if it was just a laundry detergent box fell. But it looked like in the episode what they showed you is it looked like a laundry box was thrown. Laundry detergent box
yeah,
was like
it like
thrown.
Flew across the
right, room. Right, yeah. If I'd seen that I'd have been freaked out too, I guess.
Yeah, anything flying around by itself is generally not a good thing. So at this point, they decided, well, since it's throwing laundry detergent around now and like throwing stuff, so it could throw bigger things, which is what you generally would assume. So they said, okay, well, we're going to call a priest to come bless the house. Now, they were Lutherans, evidently, and they had a regular priest because they went to church, I guess. So they called the Lutheran priest. Now, evidently, because I guess the Lutherans don't really have an exorcism kind of deal. So it's just like the Lutheran priest is kind of like, well, we can just come bless your house, but that's about all we can do. So, you know.
Right.
So we'll just come and do that. Yeah, bless, blah, blah, blah. And that was it.
Yeah, they just gave it a blessing.
Yeah. Because I guess that's, like I said, that's all they can
do. Yeah, I don't think that really did anything.
Well, yeah, here's the thing. It's like after that happened, now this is how they showed it on the episode. Like the night after they had the priest there, you know, they're like, well, do you think it worked and stuff? Yeah, it seems like better in here and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden, crash downstairs again.
Yeah, they hear another
big,
one of the
huge
tremendous
crash
crashes.
Downstairs.
Right. Is that the one he said he sounded like a sonic boom?
That was later.
So this is a common occurrence in this house, these huge crashes.
These huge crashes, and then they can't find
what caused
it. They can't find
out what caused it, right.
So they go downstairs and they don't find anything. So now at this point, they kind of feel like, well, maybe, okay, the priest came and blessed and didn't seem to do anything. The wife and the kid go off to the in-laws for a week, I think.
Yeah.
Like they stayed away for a week. So Bobby was home by himself. He was, I think the night before the wife and kid were supposed to come back, he was sitting upstairs and he heard a huge crash. Like you said, sounded like a sonic boom.
Yeah, he said it sounded like a jet breaking the sound barrier 100 feet
over the house. And he heard it. I guess it was up in the attic.
Right.
Because that's where he went. So he grabs his 45. He grabs his Bible.
Yeah. he grabs it. And the 45 is a sweet 1911.
And he like
I had one of those. Those were sweet guns.
Yeah. So he goes up to the attic with it, and he's like, I don't know. I think it's funny to me, I guess, when you know your house is haunted and you hear like a scary noise in your house, and then they just grab a gun. I'm like, what are you gonna do? You gonna shoot the poltergeist?
Well, it's kind of like a talisman, you know? What
I
mean?
Guess
make
so.
You feel better.
It just make you feel
make
better.
Make you feel better. Yeah.
Because I'm like, it's not gonna do anything.
Well, hey, the Chinese will use firecrackers to chase away evil spirits. Maybe you can fire off a few rounds.
Yeah, and then it goes to be like, oh, okay,
make you feel better.
I'm out of here. Yeah, I guess so. But so he goes up there with the Bible and like, you know, tries to exercise the attic or whatever.
Yeah, didn't work.
No, not really.
Okay.
So Addie and Sterling come back the next day and he says to her, you know, it's getting worse and I don't know what we're going to do about it and stuff like that. And then either that night or the following night, Addie's out in the yard at night looking for the dog, like calling the dog or whatever. And she hears like a evilly sounding whisper, like saying her name.
Yeah.
Like calling her in the backyard.
Right. She's out in the backyard.
Like
right.
Once or twice it called her name. Right. And she freaks out and runs back inside. Now, because at this point, the haunting or whatever it was seemed to be escalating, they feel like, well, let's move the kid into our room. Because, you know, they were afraid something bad would happen. So the kid's sleeping in their room on his little cot or whatever. Now, Addie wakes up in the middle of the night. It's like she hears something weird. And then she wakes up and she sees a figure.
Yeah.
Standing by the bed.
She said it was jet black, just outline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She said a jet black man.
Yeah.
She said it was like a figure.
Yeah.
And she said she saw it in the room. And now on the episode, they showed it like right next to the kid's bed. But she just said by the bed. So right. I don't know if it was their bed or whatever. She said she felt a presence and then she saw the figure. That was kind of like the final straw. Like she actually saw the thing and everything that's like right. that.
So they go for help.
So now they're
going to call. Who do you think they call?
Yeah. Who are you going to call? Ed and Lorraine Warren. That's who they're going to call.
Ed and Lorraine Warren. Well, at least they weren't calling for that raccoon.
Yeah. And
where is that raccoon?
There we go.
The cute raccoon.
I knew I was going to use that again right. someday. But yeah, so I don't really know if they had the Warrens recommended to them or if they knew who the Warrens were or anything. Like I said, this was, this was about 83 at this point.
Parts of the story is delivered to us are murky. We don't know how they got a hold of the Warrens. But then again, we talked about the Warrens before. The Warrens can get a hold of you. All right.
Whether you
want them or not, the Warrens can show up. You know what I mean? He comes in Trump style, pushing suckers out of the side of the way. Come on in, homie. Ed a bully his way into a case.
Yeah.
Gotta respect that. Like a crusader.
I definitely, and I think we mentioned that on the Warrens episode. I definitely do think, I don't think they thought of themselves as obnoxious, even when they turned up on other people's investigations. They thought they were helping.
If you appeared on Ed and Lorraine's radar, they'd show up if they had to.
Yeah.
Okay.
But apparently, I don't know if they showed up to this one uninvited. It didn't say that. It sounds like they were called. Which is maybe why the Warrens didn't make a huge deal out of this case, because maybe they weren't in control of it. They weren't the ones that initiated the contact or anything like that. I don't know. The Warrens showed up. And they had one of their trainee demonologists, because they have some of those.
Right.
This one was named Richard Jackson.
That's probably who heard about the case and got the Warrens on it.
Might have been, yeah.
We don't know.
I mean, they have other accolades.
But Jackson's on the episode. You can see what he's like.
Yeah, Lorraine Warren's on there too.
Yeah.
Talking a little bit.
Ed was already dead by this time, I believe.
Yeah. Well, he died the same year that this came out.
So he would have been dead or perhaps sick.
Yeah. So, okay, so the Warrens start looking around the house, and predictably, because it's the Warrens.
Demons.
It's a demon.
Demons. Yeah.
So, Lorraine is going around the house. Now, the back door that that Bobby said, you know, used to open and close all the time by itself, she's using her psychic powers or whatever, and she's by the back door, and she says, oh, it feels hot right here. This is a portal.
That's right. I forgot about the portal.
That's where the demons are coming in the back door.
Right.
That sounded dirty, but that's not how I meant.
Right. And the... Funny part is that what was their little understudy's name again? Forgot his name.
Richard Jackson.
Yeah, Jackson mentioned. At least they show Jackson running around calling out, doing a blessing that's centered around the powers and principalities.
That's later though.
Yeah, is that later?
Yeah.
Okay. I always like it when they bring up the powers and the principalities because they usually have no idea what they're talking about. Not necessarily. They're not Bible scholars.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know,
you can get into
Dr. Price. Dr. Price had straightened him out on what the powers and principalities were. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I mean, considering this whole exorcism thing is just like pulled out of their asses.
Right, yeah.
Lorraine says, of course, there's a portal, there's demons, blah, blah, blah. And even though, like, at this point, even though, like, yeah, they'd seen a black figure, yeah, the door had opened, it didn't seem like anything super demonic was going on. You know, it wasn't like the walls were bleeding or people, nothing like that.
No.
Or people were getting possessed.
So far, if I were on this case, all right, so far I would just say it was a minor haunting. Probably something like residual haunting.
Because like I said, I would not
jump to this demonic infestation. No.
And the thing about like seeing a black figure in a bedroom at night,
right.
I wouldn't necessarily attribute, because the first thing I would think was sleep paralysis.
It's not going to be much of a demon if it takes 8 years to make a few crashes and do a few player piano play.
So, right. It's like that. It's creepy. Like shit like that is creepy. But like I said, that's like shit that happens at our house.
Right.
I would never think that was a demon. I'm not going to call it. I mean, I don't believe in demons anyway, but I'm just saying, it doesn't warrant that.
I don't believe in demons as delivered.
Yeah.
You know, as described. No.
But like I'm saying, even this case,
demons are archons. That goes back to the powers of principality. But that's another issue. We'll talk about that later.
And I mean, maybe they left some of this out, like on the episode. But it just seemed like the shit that had happened up to this point did not warrant the warrant. Didn't warrant the Warren's involvement.
Right.
Is all I'm saying. And the funny thing is that when Lorraine comes and says you have a portal, you have a demon, yada yada, Bobby says in the interview, he says, well, we didn't really believe them.
Right. I don't blame him.
Well, yeah, I don't blame him.
Not enough happened to justify this demon thing.
Right. Evidently, the Wilcotts are like, well, should we move? And then the Warrens were like, yeah, well, if it's a demon, then if you move, then it'll just follow you. So there's no point. So you might as well stay here and fight it. Ed Warren says, well, we have to do an exorcism on the house, but we have to get permission from the Vatican because, you know, Catholic Church, man, it's like all red tape.
Yeah, you can't just get a exorcism on short order.
Yeah, like you can't just walk around a house with a Bible and incense unless you have authorization, goddammit.
Well, actually, this was happening at a time where the Catholic Church didn't want to do that kind of stuff anymore.
Well, yeah, because they were getting like a bad...
They didn't believe in it either.
Getting a bad reputation.
Right. They're bringing it back, though. They're bringing the demonology back.
Yes, I've heard that. I've heard that. Right? Yeah, it's kind of getting back into it. Maybe there's probably a lot of money in it, maybe.
Probably just a way to spread the faith.
Well, yeah. Well, that's what I mean. Especially which indirectly leads to more money.
Central and South America, places like that. Because if not, then the Macumba priests will get that, and Candomblé and Santeria. Then they'll handle that. And I think the Catholic Church would rather handle it than have non-Christian religions handle it.
Yeah.
So,
because you guys don't do it right.
Well, it's credit too, and they don't want them depending on Candomblé or Macumba priests getting all the credit.
Yeah.
You know. Because then that would make them
that legit. Would make their gods right.
Well, they're not really gods, but you know, it's a long
their
story.
Beliefs.
It's outside the scope of the program.
So Ed says, well, we're going to contact the Vatican, but it will probably take a while because, the Vatican are notorious for dragging their feet on exorcism permissions. Later that night, they're like, okay, fine, so contact the Vatican or whatever. So then later that night, evidently, Bobby is sleeping. And he wakes up in the middle of the night and he thinks that he's covered in roaches.
Yeah. Interesting scene in the program. Those Madagascar giant hissing.
Yeah. He didn't say what they were, but they weren't there. Like when he woke up, he was like, get him off me. And then she's like,
just had a bad dream.
Yeah. I was like, what the fuck? Although I told him when we were rewatching this episode, last night for this program, I was like, you know what? I was like, If you woke up in the middle of the night and said you were covered in roaches, I don't care if it's a dream or not. I'm getting the fuck out of that room.
Yeah,
And it's funny because I'm not afraid of creepy crawlies. I don't mind spiders. I don't mind lizards. I don't like that. But cockroaches gross me the fuck out. I don't know why. It's and I'm from Florida. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
And especially ones that fly.
Yeah.
Fuck that. And every now and then, one will get into the house. And I'll just be like, nope.
I gotta chase it down.
You gotta take it. But, that's what happens.
Yeah, Florida, where we live in the middle of a swamp, even though you're in a gated community, you're still in a swamp because that's what was here.
Yeah.
And those little things can get underneath the tightest door.
Yeah, they can squish down flat. It's so nasty.
To survive in Florida, you have to have your own big stockpile of insecticide.
Pretty much,
Home Depot is your friend around here.
Yeah, you have to do the whole perimeter of the house. Yeah. And you have to do it a few times a year, depending on how strong the shit is that you use. But so he wakes up, he thinks he's covered in roaches. And he evidently, this was upsetting to him, and he thought it was a real experience. I don't know if it was a dream or anything like that, but he's, thought he was really covered in roaches. So they feel like, oh, well, maybe we should call the Warrens back and see how that Vatican thing is going.
Right.
Now, interestingly, on the show, at this point, they said, okay, the Warrens were, quote-unquote, unavailable.
Yeah, they're working on another case, probably.
So I'm guessing, I don't know, I was just kind of amused by that.
Maybe they didn't have the cash to fly down.
Maybe not. Yeah. I don't know. Well, now, I've heard that they charge travel expenses, though, to the people whose cases they work on.
Right.
Like, I don't think they charge them anything other than that, but they make them pay, for their plane tickets or whatnot. But since this was in New England, and I think that the Warrens are from Connecticut, so...
Probably local for them.
So, yeah, it's probably not far from where they were. So the Warrens were unavailable. So instead, they call Richard Jackson, who is the Warrens' little buddy.
Right.
And he comes and does a spumigation.
Yeah, spumigation.
A spumonification.
Stop busting on it. Tell us what it is.
Well, it looked to me, it just looked like kind of like a quasi-exorcism with just waving incense around. Okay. All that shit looks the same to me. Yeah. I don't know what
that is. It's a smokification.
Yes. Yeah, smokification. A fogification.
Yeah.
And apparently that's supposed to get the demons out, because demons can't stand smoke or anything. I don't know why. It's like I said, it's like, it's kind of like when you have citronella candles at your backyard barbecue to keep the mosquitoes away.
Right.
It's kind of so, you know, it's a fumigation, smokification. Right. Okay. That's like the citronella candles of the paranormal world. So he comes in, and this is where he was talking about the principalities and yada yada.
Yeah, okay. Now it's time for me to explain.
He's going to explain some shit.
Explain demons. All right, the Abrahamic faiths. And of course, there are three of them, at least. But three major branches, you know, Islam, Judaism, and Christianity. They all kind of give a different description of what demons are. In fact, in Christianity, and probably be better to describe this more from a Christian standpoint, because it's Christians involved in this story. The Bible, the Old Testament and the New, disagree on what a demon is. In the New Testament, Jesus refers to Jesus cast demons out of possessed people, and these possessed people were living in graveyards. Those demons leave the man, and they go into some pigs, and then they jump off a cliff. What's really being described there is spirits of the evil dead, all right? Not angelic beings that are fallen angelic beings. In the Old Testament, in Genesis, the first story that you could probably is interpreted as a demon story is that the sons of God find the daughters of men to be beautiful. They crossbreed with them and they create the Nephilim. And the same sons of God that did this ended up being chained in the earth. You can interpret that as a demon, but that's actually angels being enchained in the earth. Now, in another part of Genesis, they talk about the powers and the principalities. They're talking about angels, basically. But angels in the Old Testament are not really all that good all the time. You see, what you have is El Shaddai and his sons, and in other versions of the Old Testament, like from the Septuagint, I think there were 72 of these sons. One of them was Yahweh, another one was Baal, another one was Molech, and all the other gods that are mentioned in the Old Testament. Never does it say that these other gods don't exist, it just says don't worship them. Well, each one of these sons of God chose a tribe, a Canaanite tribe. Yahweh chose the tribe of Israel. Molech chose his own, and then, you know, Baal chose another tribe. But these were all Canaanite tribes. The tribe of Israel was a Canaanite tribe. And, you know, they were called the powers and principalities. Each one of these sons of God was given a tribe and a nation to rule over. That's what they're talking about, powers and principalities. Doesn't have, you know, the Greeks, the same as the Greek concept of archon, which kind of translates to sky demon. Things like that don't possess people. Why would it possess a person? The kinds of demons referred to in the New Testament was the kind that Jesus was throwing out. Those were basically souls of the evil dead. That's why it's taking place in a cemetery. That's what's being described as two different things.
Well, I always kind of thought, and especially nowadays and on shows like A Haunting or something like that, because they kind of throw possession around. Oh, he's possessed, and all this other kind of crap. If I was a demon, yeah, you know, just saying, why would you waste your time doing that kind of petty bullshit?
Well, you wouldn't.
That's what I mean.
There's no agreement in these old scriptures of what a demon is. Now, my source, now what I just told the audience, that's, I didn't come up with this. My source is Dr. Robert M. Price. He's got two doctorates in this. All right, he knows all these religions, and you can check him out on The Bible Geek. All right, he'll tell you really what a demon is. We had him on our show.
Yeah, it was like one of our first episodes.
Yeah. Yeah, so I recommend that if you haven't heard that our biblical mythology program with Dr. Price, you should listen to that one. It's a good primer.
Yeah. So the guy comes and does a sufumigation or whatever.
Yes. Get rid of archons or souls of the evil.
Yes, get rid of them. So then a couple days later, Richard Jackson, you know, the Warren's little buddy, he comes back to the house to check on the family, make sure everything's okay. Now, while he's there, evidently, the Wilcox kid, Sterling, starts to choke to death. He's like upstairs and like, I guess he's up there with his dad. And then Bobby starts yelling and stuff like that. And the kid is not breathing. Now, they don't specify whether he was choking on a thing, like he was choking on a toy or a piece of food or something like that, or if he just stopped breathing for no reason.
I was kind of suspicious that they never really told us the symptoms, what it was.
Yeah, they just said, well, he's not breathing. So I was kind of assuming, well, that might not have anything to do with paranormal anything.
Right.
That might be he was just playing with his trucks and a wheel came off and he choked on it.
Although
the
parents who were the witnesses seemed to be relieved. They seemed to think that it was something paranormal.
Yeah.
From what I
tell. I mean, now they did call,
unless they cut something out.
Like, they did call 911, obviously, but then, like, Richard Jackson comes upstairs and says, it's a demon attack.
Yeah, demon attack.
You know, like you do. Instead of calling 911, which is what a normal person would do. But the dad did call 911, to be fair. And so he says it's a demon attack. So he starts, like, doing the exorcism shit over his, and putting, like, sacred salt on him or something.
Yeah.
Something like that. And apparently, the kid, like, starts breathing again and he's fine.
Yeah.
Before then, they didn't show the ambulance get in there or nothing like that. So I guess the kid recovered.
Well, they call a red alert and they have to do a whole exorcism, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So then, yeah, at that point, like after that happened, the Wilcox did attribute it to paranormal causes, whether it was or not, I don't know. So they sent the kid to the grandparents and then the Warrens come back.
Yeah.
And they said, okay, well, it's targeting your kid now, so we can't wait for the Vatican, because at this point, the Vatican still hadn't given their permission.
So they're going to do an illegal.
So we said, we're just going to wing it and we're going to do an illegal exorcism.
Right.
And they call Bishop McKenna.
Yeah. This guy, he's a piece of work.
He's like so, like, and I don't like to pick on people's appearances and stuff like that, but he's so odd looking. Well, he's dead. Like, he's dead now. He
looks like something. He looks like a character out of Star Wars.
He really does. He's got a very, very long face and like these weird ears that kind of stick out at the top, almost like kind of Spock ears.
His voice,
He looks like a Jim Henson character.
Now, he seemed very pious. I'll give him that. He seemed like a very pious.
He's actually quite famous in Catholic circles, like as an exorcist and stuff like that. And I was going to mention it. We'll probably do a show on this someday. But he was also involved in the Smurl family haunting, which the Warrens were also, which was kind of a famous haunting. They made a TV movie called The Haunting out of it, like in The Haunted, rather.
Right.
I think it was in the 90s, 80s or 90s they made one. But it was a pretty famous, that was the one with the pig rape and all that other kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I remember I told you about that.
Yeah.
And that's in my book, The Unseen Hand, too. That one is a little, the early details of it were kind of believable, and then it just went flying off the rails kind of thing.
Now, piety. It's like it's like one of the biggest prerequisites in being an exorcist. Tradition has it that a guy who's really pious hasn't committed enough sins for this demon to attack, because it's just like out of the movie Exorcist, the attack is psychological.
Yeah.
And an extremely pious person would have the confidence and the faith you need to confront evil. All right. Because this is piety is a great virtue. But there are other traditions that say exactly that. Evil itself has a virtue, too. You just put a badass in there and you can duke it out with evil. Because sometimes evil can destroy evil also, you know.
That's kind of interesting. I never looked at it that way. Well, if you think
of the greatest evils of all mankind, you know, say like, okay, the Nazis,
right?
They weren't really destroyed by good, all right? The United States and the Soviet Union didn't go over there and drop flowers on those people. They dropped bombs on them.
Well, yeah. So
they were defeated by more evil.
Right.
They were just killed. So, you know.
And
that's a virtue in its own, too.
I thought it was kind of funny, because in the reenactment of the exorcism, when Bishop McKenna got there, they actually got kind of a normal looking guy to play him. I was surprised they didn't get somebody that looked like someone from Labyrinth or something. So I like that he kind of looked like a Jim Henson character, but with his ears and his face is all long and stuff. It's like he's very, and he had kind of a Muppety voice. Sorry, he's dead now, but it's, you know.
Talking bad about the dead.
It's okay.
No,
I'm not mean. He seemed like a nice man. He's just strange.
Yeah, he was strange, yeah.
He's just strange looking. But
kind of had an eerie presence to him.
Yeah, he was spooky. He should have been in like movies and stuff.
Yeah.
Like playing extras, because I'd believe that shit.
Right.
In the reenactment, the guy they had playing him, he comes to do the exorcism. He's getting his little like purple sash out or whatever. Yeah. And he's like, I don't foresee any problems. Yeah. I got this shit handled. You know, it was like that kind of thing. And I thought that was very funny.
Yeah.
So like the remainder of the program, and this kind of happened a lot on a lot of haunting episodes in later seasons. It's like really the last 10 or 15 minutes of the fucking episode would be the exorcism. And usually nothing happened.
No.
It was just like they would dramatically film people walking around the house.
Yeah.
And like,
facial expressions.
And facial expressions like, oh my God, yeah, oh my God. Yeah. Over there, yeah. lights flashing and yeah. shit like that, and like yeah. house shaking, and like nothing was really happening.
I think
I'm sure
the only
really
thing that was
there.
Reported is that the wife from the case, Addie, said she almost blacked out.
Yeah, she said, oh, she almost blacked out, but that was it. Yeah. Like, other than that, like they were filming it, like I said, they're walking up the stairs and the music is all dun, 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 like that, and I'm like, nothing's going on.
Right, so that's pretty much the end of the case.
Pretty much, yeah.
Pretty much the end of the case. Okay, so what's the deal?
Like I said, and apparently the exorcism that Bishop McKenna did was immediately effective.
Yeah.
Because...
Oh, that's right. This is a great part of the great part of it.
Yes.
It said like a fog had lifted, a big weight came off of them.
Yeah, the house felt like there wasn't anybody in it but them.
Yeah. And then Lorraine Warren, well, they all start smelling roses. And Lorraine warns us, that's the odor of sanctity.
What you're smelling is the odor of sanctity. It's a sign of God's presence. The end. Of a successful exorcism.
I'm totally putting that in the episode. The odor of sanctity.
The odor of sanctity.
And we're sitting there saying, you know, like, I bet Lorraine Warren, she has like a little vial
of rose oil.
And it says, odor of sanctity.
And you have that.
And she just sprays that like surreptitiously at the end of every
Oh, you smell that.
That's God's presence. God's like roses.
That was what came to mind.
Yeah.
Is that you could fake that.
Well, yeah,
very
obviously.
Easily. And everyone report, well, not everyone, but
I've
heard that reported, the rose smell. I bet you could go back into the seance, fine arts of the seance, and you could find out that they were using that back then.
Psh, 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 psh.
Back in the early 1900s, little scented things.
Yeah.
Because you can stash that on your purse easily.
Well, yeah, of course you would. It would just take like a little bit. And rose oil is like super cheap.
Yeah.
You can buy that anywhere. Yeah. So I think that's what they were doing. Probably. Just like spraying.
Lorraine, I'm not going to call you on that, but I'm just going to wink to you.
Your secret's safe
really
with us.
I'm not really buying that.
Anyway. All right. Well, okay. So it was a really good episode. Like I said, they seemed like a kind of believable couple. I didn't believe demons or nothing like that. But all the minor shit that happened before that, I could buy that.
Yeah, I actually believe the case, but I think it was just a minor haunting. And then I think the Warrens got involved. And then it became something and then, demonic, and then you started to smell the odor of sanctity and all that.
As you do.
Probably what happened.
So anyway, okay, so we're getting to the end of the show. We went all the way, like, way too long about this, because we just yapped. So we hope you enjoyed this other episode. We'll probably do more haunting episodes at some point in the future, because these are kind of fun to do.
They're fun to do, and they're kind of easy to do, because you have something...
Because we have an episode
to talk about, and we have all the episodes.
Yeah.
And we have something that we can just kind of focus in on and go, you know.
This one was
This one
was kind of a little bit harder because there's not a lot of information about, like, what really happened, quote unquote. Because, like, sometimes it's interesting to go, oh, well, on the episode, this happened, but then in real life, this happened or whatever.
Right. There's only one source.
And this is pretty much, they just had them talking, and I don't know how they got edited or whatever.
Right.
So, you know, that's why we kind of.
There's nothing about this case outside of this episode.
Yeah. Not that I know of. Unless, like I said, it's in some of the Warren's archives or something like that, that they're not releasing to the public.
Or at least not for free.
Top secret. Yeah, well,
I've been tempted to buy some of their stuff, though.
You can if you want. I won't think any less.
Over the year control of the money? You're going to let me buy it?
No,
typical woman. I'll let you buy that.
You didn't let me finish.
Okay.
I said I wouldn't think less of you if you did. It wasn't a money issue. I just got
to admit that Ed is a fantastic storyteller.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's kind of, he's interesting.
Yeah.
Do I believe it? Not all of it. No.
Yeah.
No.
And like I said, we still need to do...
I think there is something to some of what they're talking about. Because I know that they were on some cases that I consider to be actual cases.
Yeah. And eventually, like I said, we're definitely going to do a show about their werewolf case, because that shit's hilarious.
We promised to do that, didn't we?
Yeah, I totally want to do that.
Okay.
Werewolves, man, I love werewolves. Okay, so anyway, I hope you enjoyed the show, and like I said, as always, if you have any other recommendations or shows you want us to do, just drop a comment in YouTube or on our Facebook page or whatever.
Yes, and please sub to the YouTube show.
Yes, please sub to the, even if you're a listener of our Project Entertainment Network audio podcast, then, you know, if you just subscribe to the YouTube show too, that would be cool.
And don't forget, if you're a listener in the UK or Australia and you'd like some free audio books, we would love to get some reviews from you.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
That would help us out.
So just contact, I have a million places you could contact me. Just, you know, find me somewhere. I'm on Twitter, Facebook. I'm on Facebook, I'm on everywhere.
We'd have to see their Facebook profile to make sure that they're in those countries that they claim to be in.
Yeah, true.
We have to know who they are.
Yeah. Don't try.
You can't fool us. Right.
Okay, so, oh, and since this, since the name of this episode was The Dark Side, you know what music I'm going to play at the end, right?
Theme to Darth Vader?
Yeah.
Darth Vader's March?
Yeah.
Go for it.
All right. So here we go. See you guys next Tuesday. Bye.
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Project Entertainment Network.